What's up, everybody? Welcome back to our shows. It's good to see you guys. We didn't have any like chit chat off air before we started, so we can even just start off with just like a how are you guys doing? We haven't talked in a little while.
Oh gosh, we want to know how you're doing. Yeah, no, yeah, everything is, we're the same, Jordan.
Tell us. Yeah. I'm really good. We could turn this into a full blown therapy session, and I need to do maybe a podcast on all of these thoughts, and maybe today will be that podcast. But like, wow, so many things are going on right now. Like, obviously we just had a baby, blah blah blah. But like, not even blah blah blah. But like, I don't know. All right, how about I say something and then we just talk about it. We just roll with it. There's gonna be a bunch of classic Jordan disclaimers to start. I'm gonna say something, and it's. When I say that I've changed my opinion on it, it is not because I have done a 180. It's just I've updated my opinion on it. So I was saying it in my head, and I'm like, if I say that, people are going to think that I thought the opposite. It's like, oh, I think that you should eat this much protein. It's like, not that I thought that you should eat no protein before or whatever. So when I say what I'm about to say, it's not because I held the opposite opinion. It's because I am just updating my opinion. And I think I just didn't really understand how amazing and of a job, like being a mother is, but being a parent. And like Jenna, when we first met, she'll know we've talked about this. Like she would say things like, I just want to be a mom. I can't wait to be a mom. Felt like it was her calling. And she didn't have like a real job that she loved at the time. She was working at the gym. She didn't really love it. And I had just like picked up speed with my like passion for what I was doing. And so I couldn't fathom that you would not want that for yourself and that you would kind of like, it almost sounded like she was defaulting to this thing that she'll just do instead of pursuing her own passion. But like, I just am watching her be a mom and it's like, yeah, you're right. Like you are meant to do this. Like you're so unbelievably built. You built for this. And like, it's so beautiful to watch. And it's not that I thought before that being a mom wasn't a job or it wasn't a serious thing. I guess I didn't fully grasp that you actually could be so built for this. And this could be, it is such a beautiful thing that you could just, somebody could be like, hey, what'd you do in your life? And I was like, I was a mother. And it is, that's enough. And it's more than enough. It's the most amazing thing ever. And it's only been 3 weeks, but like totally changing how I felt about all this. Like if Jenna, turning into a therapy session, but if she doesn't want to go back to work and just wants to be a mom, it's almost like, you know what I've been shitting on lately? I've been shitting on this idea of like people saying that they only train 3 days a week. I fucking hate that word only in there. And it's like saying, right? It's like when people say they are just a stay-at-home mom or something. I now really would cringe at that word just, because to me, I'm like, no, that's like an amazing, amazing thing. And that's really been a big 180. Again, not a 180, because I didn't think, it's not like I was like, stay-at-home mom's this like stupid default thing that like, you should go out and get a job. That's not at all what I felt. But I guess I just didn't, again, whatever. I hadn't experienced it, so I didn't have a full grasp on it. But she's just killing it. And she's like, obviously, clearly, those feelings that she had where she was like, I feel like that's what I'm meant to do, or that's a thing I'm meant to do. Like, yeah, she was totally right. So that's something that's been on my mind. I just had therapy. You could tell I just had therapy like 2 hours ago where I was talking about this, where I'm like, I'm just watching myself eat my own thoughts. Where like a couple years ago, I was like in therapy talking about how like I really wanted Jenna to have this own passion for herself. And like, it was right around that time where she was like, I don't know if I want to do XYZ. I kind of just really am excited about being a mom. And I couldn't fathom it. I was like in therapy for it, kind of like I couldn't understand. And now I really understand. And so it's been a very beautiful couple of weeks, just like watching her in her element. I mean, I'm there too, you know, I'm trying to do other things, you know, pick up all the slacks that I can, but just like, she like, wow, was I like, she was right. Yeah. She's killing it. So anyway, mother's amazing, parenthood, crazy responsibility, beautiful experience, like totally misjudged this, just like a little bit off the mark for me. So yeah.
We're talking about this a little bit ago. It's like there's a saying, Jordan, that you can probably identify with now, that everyone's a perfect parent until they have kids. And the truth is the same kind of thing. Like until you're in it, like you can say all the things you want about it. So it's not that you, I think an updated, you know, thought about it is probably the right way to say it, because I mean, and I, to be totally honest, and just to kind of like, I don't know, validate you in a way, like I didn't actually feel like I was meant to be a mother. Like that was not something that I like thought I desired or wanted. Like, I think there are women who are exponentially designed for it. Like, I really do believe that. Like, Heidi is a very much a natural mother. Like, it's just in her blood. Like, she loves babies. She sees them. She wants to hold them. That is not me, right? That doesn't mean that I'm not a good mom. It's just, I think that there's, even within that little frame of like, there are women who just want to be mothers. There are also women who are don't want to be mothers and are would not be good mothers, right? So we have to allow for, I think, both. So don't, there's nothing wrong, I think, with assuming that you didn't understand why that would be, because there are women who just have no interest in it too, right? But just like any occupation, like how you meet some people, like, I wanted to be a doctor since I was like 8. Like, some people, I think, just kind of know, and that's super beautiful. And those women, they like give into lend into motherhood in a way that like I would could only dream of. But that is actually not my personal, like, default setting was never like, I just want to have a bunch of kids. Like, I ended up with a bunch of kids, but that was never like what I had set out to do, which I think there are women who are like, I just want to be a mom. And it is. So.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm kind of like split the difference between you got your guys' perspective, because I have been a stay-at-home mom, and it and I love being a mom. It is something that it's funny. I don't know that I have like an overwhelming thought that like this is the thing that I want to do with my life or whatever. But then when I had kids, like I absolutely love it, obsessed with it, amazing. But then I ended up finding something that I'm passionate about within coaching. And so it's like, I didn't have that before, but like as my kids were like in school and whatnot, and I had all some time on my hands, I was able to kind of find something that really does, that I am really passionate about. So, I mean, phases,
Our
growth,
permission to
all
change
the
our
things.
minds all the time about all the things is kind of like that, what this topic is about, right? Like, even just the 3 days a week, I think there was a point where we're like, oh no, five is the way, right? I mean, I even remember you trying to convince us to go to four, and we're like, what do you mean four? We do fives. In fact, if we could do a six, we would, right? I mean, and so same kind of, I think, idea about parenting. It's like, Jenna right now, this is her calling, right? And it doesn't mean that she won't find something else later in life. She might end up being, who knows? You have women who go back to like med school after their kids grow up. So who knows, right?
But I just have to say, like, to hear your perspective as a partner, like, that's super beautiful,
It
Joe.
is.
That's just like,
I wish
I love
every
it.
guy felt
I
that
love it.
way, for sure.
It's one of the reasons we just adore you, Jordan. You're
Yes.
such a heart of gold.
That's kind of you. That's kind. Yeah. And when you were talking about Nat, I think my default setting, it probably comes down to the fact that my default setting was not, I'm not as hardwired that way. But actually, like, one of the things I love about Jenna is that she's changed my hardwiring a little bit in that way, where like I didn't know pets, I didn't get it. Like, I didn't get dogs, I didn't get that. I didn't get like kids, I didn't get babies, I didn't get a lot of things until her. So it's certainly my default was hardwired differently, which is, yeah, definitely a thing.
It brings out dormant parts of you, right? It brings them alive or whatever.
And
It's
that's the coolest part of this whole thing, is like, you get to figure out what makes sense to you. Like Basil just cares really about our kids. That's it. Like, his nieces and nephews, he's fine to chat with them, but he's not the one that's like jumping in the pool with like 17 kids, people's kids that he doesn't know, and like being camp counselor, right? But like, I have
Totally camp
girlfriends and
counselor.
guy friends who are like that, and they love it, right? They just like bring it all in, right? But then you have people who are like, I only like babies, and I'm like, give me all your teenagers, because I freaking love teenagers so much. So you'll find that the same thing with goes with you. You'll find what you like, right? Kind of like you have two dogs now for someone who doesn't like dogs.
It's
Totally.
great.
Yeah,
So good.
that's absolutely right. And
But I really love that disclaimer, though. I get it, as always, wherever this podcast goes. But like, because as we were kind of making a list of, talking through things that we've changed our minds about, I was getting a little in the weeds of that, of like, well, I don't necessarily think that, like, we were wrong necessarily, but just like things have shifted or priorities have like rearranged,
Well, and like empathy and compassion and anything, like, until you experience it, it's really hard to find yourself there and to put yourself there, right? Like, I can't be like, I love motherhood. Are you mom? No. Like,
Let's stay on this for a sec, 'cause this is a good point that I haven't yet put into. I was going to write about it in my newsletter today, but I haven't yet put it into. So there's like a very obvious like sort of conundrum that people go through of like, does the person have to have experienced what I've experienced to help me with my experience? Right. So like, do I have to have lost 100 pounds to help people lose 100 pounds? Do I have to be a diabetic to help people with their diabetes? Like, how much living the life, talking the talk, walking the walk has to happen for me to help somebody else? But and so I have forever, like, logically, the logical part of my brain knows that, like, no, I'd rather have the cardiologist who's overweight with heart problems who finished top of his class, you know, doing surgery on me or whatever. Like then the cardiologist who's like super fit, but like doesn't know shit about, you know, helping me in bad bedside manner and all that stuff. So like logically I can disassociate or disconnect those things. But there's a moment here of like, huh, that is, it's not the whole truth to say there's nothing there. So like to just be like, hey, I understand logically, like you can be, have an amazing experience of losing weight and be a terrible coach helping others to lose weight. In the same breath, you could be always fit and be an amazing coach helping people lose weight. That is like not a necessary condition to help people. But that isn't the whole picture, because I think there is an element of relatability that is still a feature potentially. So it's like, if you, would I rather have, there's a third scenario. Would I rather have the cardiologist who's really in tune with living the life, walking the walk, has maybe had struggles himself, but overcome them, is in a good shape and has all that knowledge. Like, would I take both of them? Yeah, I think I would take both over just one. I think that that is also definitively logical to take both over just one. And so for me, the thing that's happening now, again, fucking 3 weeks into being a parent, I scratched the absolute surface of being a parent, but I'm just starting to explore this idea of like, well, I'm gaining this experience, this level of relatability that I didn't have before. As like 99% of the people I work with are parents, or 90 or 95, 85, whatever, a lot. And does that make, is this going to make me a better coach because it's, we'll be able to relate better? I think the answer is absolutely yes. And so I think that is just an interesting point, because I don't think that's logical to say just because I've never had kids that I can't coach people who have kids and understand where they're coming from. But in the same breath, I also, it's challenging that that just where, again, like you said, Heidi, like not doing a 180, but like, I just think, yeah, that relatability, it's not irrelevant. I mean, do you guys feel that too?
Well, and also your experience being 3 weeks in is also not irrelevant either. Like it's great, a humble acknowledgement that like, yeah, you're 3 weeks into it, but I almost wonder if sometimes like the juxtaposition and the contrast of that has you in a very particular mindset that has some that has a lot of value, right? But yeah, I totally agree. I'm trying to put words to it. It's like you don't have to have the experience necessarily to help somebody else with it. I don't think just like unilaterally, but also I think being in tune with what you were saying, like having the self-awareness or like the, you know, somebody with like a large weight loss goal, what are they maybe facing? Overwhelm, confusion, self-doubt, you know, those kinds of things. Like, do you have experience with those emotions? Can you tap into what that's like? And can, like Matt was saying, from a place of like, you know, compassion and accountability and support, can you help that person? Absolutely. But if any of us think we have to be a perfect teacher to teach, okay, then never mind. Just forget the whole thing.
And I think it comes down to the individual so much too, right? Just like I was saying that, like that wasn't like a very natural transition to me to think like my next step is motherhood. There are like one of my sisters, Julie, she's an incredible aunt, like so mothering and so loving and conscious and kind. And she doesn't have children of her own, right? So it doesn't mean that like she's void from this like, from any, like what kids are like, how they can be annoying, how they can be hard, right? Like, and I feel the same thing even about teachers, right? You have some teachers, as you'll find, you know, in your parenting life, that like, they just get your kids so well. And they're just like, naturally great for that job. And you have some teachers, you're like, I'm so shocked you picked this profession. But you seem like you hate every single second of it, right? And so it's kind of the same thing, I think, with any kind of skill. Like sometimes you have individuals who are born to do certain things, or they just naturally have more empathy and compassion and lend themselves into this like area, whatever it is, right? Like how you have people who coin like natural athletes, right? Like you have people who are just good at every single freaking sport they pick up, or gamers, right? They can just like learn it like right away, or like they understand it, or like not make logic jumps and things. And then you have people who are like, I literally cannot bring myself to like do a crossword puzzle. It's so paralyzing, right? So, you know, who among us, but 3 weeks in, I think you're going to do just fine, Jordan Lips. Yeah. If you're already in this trajectory, I think you also have a desire to know and to empathize and be the best you can be at it, which is also part of that too.
Yeah.
Your learning curve will be shortened because of that desire. But I will tell you that like, you know, 18, 17 years into it, we're not necessarily any better at it.
Well, it's because it's a moving target.
Well, that's
you're
what
a moving target. Yeah,
I stayed with my friend Brian Borstein, like during Jenna's like very late pregnancy, I went to the N1 conference. I stayed with my friend Brian. He's got a 4-year-old and 6-year-old. And we were just like, went for a walk and we were just talking about, you know, obviously I was about to go into this and he was giving me some words of wisdom. And he's like, honestly, like every time you think you have like put together the skills and habits needed to be a great parent in a certain phase, it's the next phase already. So like, it's not like you don't carry those skills over at all, but it really is like a toddler is a toddler and requires X kind of routine habit skills. And then it changes and then you have to change. And then it changes again. And you have to change. And so I, you know, that was like an interesting, he's like, it took me a couple of years to realize that like, I need to stop pretending like I'm going to get to that place where I have it perfectly down. Because like, first of all, that's obviously by itself a moving target, the idea of perfection, but like they are changing so rapidly over the first 18 years of their life that like, you're not ever going to be like, yeah, this is, you know, you might find some confidence during certain times, but he's like, that was important for me to like, you know, stop doing this thing where it's like, oh, once they get here, it'll be easier. Once they get here, it'll be like that. It's just like, I mean, again, I don't, you guys know, you guys are chuckling along that, you know, but like that is something that I've been just remembering. And that actually like, it's been helpful to hear because it makes me, you know, enjoy all of the fun and folly, pros and cons of like each scenario. Like I don't want to, we don't need to go on a rant, but I hate the just wait people. Just wait till this, just wait till that. It's like, you know, what will be sort of like, it's going to happen. Like I just trying super hard not to be like, oh, I can't wait till she sleeps through the night. Or like, yeah, that's obviously going to be nice. But like when she is old enough to sleep through the night, like she might not do like that newborn scrunch and like, exactly. And like some of these other, and so like, I'm trying not to do that. It's hard, but like, yeah, anyway. So yeah. Yeah, they change so
much. You're talking about like the major human struggle of like being in the present moment. Yeah, it's hard for all of us. Yeah, and super relatable.
But you also, as you know, just the kind of probably what it was like when you had your pets as puppies. It's like every stage is my favorite, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Especially when you're a first-time parent, like, oh, I don't want this to go by. This is my favorite. And you realize like in a year, that stage is your favorite and that stage is your favorite.
Totally.
And then there does become a point where it's not so much your favorite. But I'm not going to be one of those. Just wait.
It is baffling though. Have you had this experience yet where like they literally change overnight? Like they do something today that they couldn't do yesterday. It's so baffling. Like it just, keeps you on your toes. It's...
Yeah. The big one is tummy time. So like Jordan Syatt was telling me about this once where he was, I don't know where he was describing it, whatever. And he was like, it's like watching progressive overload like happen where like, you know, she's like, the first time we did it, I was like, I actually didn't know if we were doing it right because it just like wasn't happening. And then like the next day, I'm like, I thought we were doing it wrong. Like it felt like overnight. The next, I was like, oh, I think I'm doing it wrong again because she's not challenged at all. And I was like, no, like this is literally progressive overload. This is literally like adaptation SRA curve, progressive overload, like getting stronger. And so that's been like in just like, and yeah, just like that has been something. And of course, like, the percentage of weight gain is so rapid. So like she, you know, she gains like 1/6 of her, she's already gained like 1/6 of her body weight, you know, like that doesn't happen in like 2 weeks. So like, you know, that has been, you know, she was fitting into like onesies that she like were like super loose on her originally. So I don't like it.
It's okay. It's the best. This is like the time in your life where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited for the weight gain.
Yeah.
Let's.
Oh, that's so cute.
Let's pivot to what the people came here for. No, I'm kidding. They've enjoyed this chat.
They came for this. This is exactly our topic.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, the first thing we had on the list, by the way, P.S., we should do like, I think people would love like a Q&A with the two of us. That's something people have been, the people have been clamoring for. So I would say.
Perfect.
If you're listening to this.
Clamoring.
Clamoring. I don't remember how to look that up. I know what it means, but it's, yeah. So the first topic we had was like things we've changed our mind about, which obviously we kind of led with. You guys want to, so we're keeping the health and fitness related, but anything that jumped to mind for you guys you want to talk about?
Quite a few things, not in no particular order. Rest days, sleep recovery, like that cluster of things has definitely pivoted a lot for us. And this is gonna be something that's probably gonna be mentioned in every aspect. It's not necessarily, I don't regret it, and I don't necessarily know that I think I have like the wrong perspective on it, because if you have the context of my particular life where I really was not consistently active until I was like 36, 37, like I never really worked out before. It's my personality to like kind of when I'm interested in something to go like 110%. So like when we, you know, I think the first, the like my first goal ever was to work out 6 days a week for an entire year. And I was just like at least for 10 minutes, like, don't get me wrong. It's not like, I mean, I was starting from ground zero, right? Where I was like, if I could do five jumping jacks and, you know, I had like a list of things that I do. And then the next day I'd try to match it or do one better. Right. Like I wasn't following anybody's program. I hadn't really started lifting weights seriously or anything like that. So that's kind of my perspective. Like I kind of have to go to like the extreme and then sort of back off. But yeah, Nat and I mean, we were 5 days a week at CrossFit for several years. And it was like, again, I think we had the perspective of having kind of thought we were like, you know, the last to be picked for the team, to having, you know, not athletic, not capable. I think for us, it was really, at least for me, it was really empowering to override a lot of my excuses of like, I can't do it, or I'm too tired, or it's too hard, or whatever. That was really powerful for me to override those for a while. But there definitely came a point where things were starting to break down, you know, my personality being one. So decided to kind of reshift those priorities. And I think things have only gotten, our quality of life has only gotten better as a result. But yeah, bringing in a little bit of moderation to that after having been extreme for several years.
And I think there was just this belief that, I mean, even the rhetoric has changed so much, even from when we all started coaching to now. Before it was kind of like a no days off mentality, yeah, right? Like excuses. like only like people who are lazy rested, right? Or like you had to earn your days off, or like if it's between sleep and a workout, like you're never gonna regret like going in, so yeah, you might as well just go in because you could always like take a nap later, or there was like lots of caffeine available to you, and like, you know, lots of different ways to game the system, and like, oh, that's what pre-workout is for. Like if you had energy, you wouldn't need pre-workout. Like all these like dumb things we used to believe in. And I think to kind of confirm with Heidi, it's like I think there was also a moment where this new identity of myself, I really loved it. I loved Natalie at 5 days a week, mm-hmm, and maybe even an additional six. Like she was everything that I thought that I wanted to be and more. And so we like totally doubled down and leaned into it. And then you realize that like, at a, you know, whether it's your personality or you only have like, you know, elevated cortisol your whole entire life, like all day long. And it just ends up being, you end up breaking after a while.
Yeah.
And then you have to change your mind and be like, oh, like, I mean, kind of what we talked about earlier, like, you were like, you guys don't really need to work out 5 days a week. Four is great. And we're like, who said four? Like,
well, you know? It seemed like we had this proof outside of us that we were getting better and stronger and fitter and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, but then there came a point where it's like, well, how does it feel?
Right. And then, does that matter? And then you introduced a deload. And I was like, what the is a deload?
What is this sorcery?
Like where you pretty much go and you pretend to work out for like a week, or like you don't even work out for a week. I mean, I remember the first time that like I was in a cut and like I hadn't had any movement on the scale for like 2 months. And I was like, I'm not going to go to maintenance or reverse diet. Like that doesn't work. I don't believe in that kind of thing. It's like that same kind of thing where you're like, oh no, you really need to be in maintenance. Like we don't eat nothing for nothing. Right. So kind of the same kind of idea, we've just changed. So all this to say, like, there are definitely times now that we will prioritize sleep over exercise. Like,
yeah.
I had three days of trash sleep in a row, then I'm just going to be like, you know, today is a sleep in day, or I'm walking, instead of like trying to just grind it out. Like, okay, 4:45, no matter what. Right. Or mm-hmm. things like that. So how about you?
Yeah. I'm going to piggyback and modify slightly. So what I wrote was one of the things that I wrote many things, was obsession has a purpose. And like one of the things I'm like trying to do right now is, it's really easy for me to project where I'm at, because I think I'm in a place I'm very proud of with my relationship with body, nutrition, life, like the way that, you know, the way that nutrition and fitness are enhancing my quality of life right now is the highest it's ever been. Like that, as a tool to actually be happier, I'm using them like never before. So but I was obsessed with all of it for a very long time, and it's very likely that had a purpose, a part to play in me ultimately being here. And Heidi touched on it. You were like, hey, it was important for me to have a period of like just totally overriding my excuses and like proving that like mental power. And yes, both of you talked about how, okay, but it eventually got to a point where we had to make changes. And that's what I'm addressing here is like that obsession kind of had a purpose. Now, one of the superpowers of coaching potentially is identifying where on that arc somebody is that comes to work with you, because it's really easy for me to give off the vibe of like, it's not that serious. Don't take it that seriously. Like, you know, to just project where I am, which by the way, I think a lot of people, if they were like, I would want everybody to be where I'm. I think it's just a wonderful place, but I don't know if spewing that directly at somebody is the fastest way for them to ultimately get there, depending on where they are on their graph. Like if you have somebody comes to you and I see where they're at and they might be where I was, where they're like in like serious bulking and cutting and like comparing progress photos. And like, that's not a place I'm at mentally and haven't been for a very, very long time. And I don't want that bias to be like, oh, they'd be a lot happier if they were where I am. It's like, maybe they're really in that like push myself really hard era. And maybe that's like a thing that like you, Heidi, you said, like, maybe that's like an important personal growth moment. And maybe I have to, in my own way, let them make mistakes. Not about that, but I feel like maybe like just kind of let them carry on this journey in this way that I think where I can ultimately shape them in a positive way. But maybe like just because they're not necessarily where I'm at, like if they're, you know, unless it's like big red flags of something, like I just got off a call with somebody who's kind of in this place where she's made amazing headway into a place where she can have that and be in a much better headspace. And I'm very proud of her, but like we're still doing some of that. We're like, hey, bulking, cutting, like, let's take a look at progress photos. Let's see, like, hey, I want to build more of the teres or my bicep or like, and that's cool. And she's in that era and I don't want to poo-poo it because I'm not in that era. And people are, no rest days. It's like, yeah, but maybe I don't want to immediately say that there's no benefit to that going to the extreme. So that's something I've changed my mind about in both ways, where I was like, oh, extreme is awesome. Yeah. I'm pushing everybody super hard, bulking and cutting. And then on the flip side of that, like, none of this shit matters. Who fucking cares? Just like walk and lift and be happy and stare at the sun and be healthy. And then now it's in the middle where it's like, cool. Like, you know, you're in the push hard era. I want to track all three macros and do mini cuts and stuff that like are just like, you know, beyond the ROI for me. But like, maybe it's an important part for your journey. And I just don't want to immediately poo-poo that. So that was on similar in a very similar way.
Yeah. I think that's an excellent point to make for sure. I mean, there's nothing like, realizing something yourself versus being told something, for sure. I think that, yeah, that's really good perspective. And I think all that almost segues into the next point we were going to make, which is like, there was a huge focus. Buttery Macros had like a huge, huge focus on tracking everything, the nutrition content of everything, right? That was like our whole thing before. A lot of that information is now like widely available and like built right into your ordering apps and stuff like that. But it wasn't years ago. And I think for us, it was, again, that like ADHD hyperfixation, like what, just wanting to decode the entire world in terms of macros. But I think just like you were saying, there can be some issues with projection there. I think it could have potentially communicated to people that just because you can track it, you should track it all the time, right? Like everything, holidays, vacations, potlucks, like you name it. And while I don't necessarily, again, regret it, information is power, right? But information is not in itself wisdom, right? Like you can also kind of make that distinction between is this right for me, right for the situation? Like how is this impacting my well-being and stuff like that? So just that was another one on our list. Just because you can track it doesn't necessarily mean you have to or that you should.
And for me too, I think, I don't even know how much of that whole learning curve and that experience, because it was a game for us.
Totally.
Fun. I mean, we chat a little bit, like, I mean, like chuckle in the way that like, okay, who knows, like now if I look back, like, oh, were we super disordered and were we teaching all these women all these crazy things? And I definitely don't want to believe that, because that was not the energy that it was like mm-hmm. presented or that we wanted it to come across. But like, it was so fun for us. Like it was fun for us to go out and see how many donuts we could fit, or if we could have pizza, tacos, and donuts in one day, and fries, and like,
and finally answer how much, like, do the serving sizes that they give you, or do they actually match the nutrition information that they list? You know,
I mean, I wish that you would have known us back then, because I would have loved to heard your character assessment of like, yeah, y'all were crazy. What were you doing? But I also don't know that I could not have had that experience. I mean, I don't know that I could be where I'm at now and not have had that experience. Like, I might have had to have that intensity and that level of interest and obsession and fun. And I mean, it turned into a full-fledged business for us. So it's like, I can't say that that was the wrong path for us to take. Although now I look at it and I'm like, I really want you to go on vacation. Like, I really do. Like, if you're going to Europe, I would really love for you not to feel like you can't have a second croissant. Like, there are things and quality of life aspects that I think we maybe had not really realized back then that were also part of that. But at the same time, it was like, why can't we were of the mindset, like, you could have it all. Like, you could go to Vegas and eat all the things, and heaven forbid you actually leave food on the table, which is really was more about like, not like make sure you're eating too much, is make sure you eat enough and you're getting your fill, was always kind of our mindset with tracking everything. But it's like, now I want you to take a break. I want you to go, if you're going on an amazing trip, a once in a lifetime trip, I really don't want you to have to worry about like hitting the gym every morning before you guys go out and like see Paris, if that's not really like
in like, your best interest
or who you are, right? Like, I think that's the conflict with everything. Like, I mean, what's good for one person and for another are going to be completely different things, which is why this job is so fun. But also, like, it's hard to just throw out there, like, everyone should track every single bite, no matter what. Like, you know?
So you guys have gotten soft, is what you're saying. You guys have gone soft.
100%.
I think that there is so little time in life to have real joy. That just to live your life that way. Yeah. I think that I have gone soft that way. I think having like, you know, people in your life who are like going to probably pass soon, make you realize that like, I would really love for like my dad to not be obsessed with how much he weighs right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like, you know, it's like, sure, you have things like, oh, I got to wash these foods and things like that for like, because I'm in renal failure. Like that seems a lot like more productive than like, oh, I cannot have that one thing because it might make me blow up in my mind, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it won't make you blow up, but like people think that like, I can't have that. I can't be anywhere near that. Totally. You know, and it's just like that. I guess in my mind, it's like living your life like that, like for what? Like, does it actually improve your quality of life? It might, but also are we not meant to have like experiences and joy and fun? And instead of walking around paralyzed that like, you can't have any fun. Like, you know, it's like, what do we say? Like, is it a dream body if you can't even live in it? Like, is there really a way?
Well, totally. Cause it's like, I think part of the fuel for that era for us was like, let's just not decide things subjectively or how we've been conditioned to see things, right? Like salads aren't always the best menu option, right? Like let's uncover. It felt like we were, we used to call it like a magic decoder ring. Like you could figure out what nutrition is best for your goals instead of just like letting your feelings determine it. But then you don't want to go too far to the other extreme where feelings are irrelevant when it comes to like food and experiences and things like that.
So, I mean, I guess if like soft means like you care about how you feel, then yes, I do.
Well said.
I mean, I think about it even like just from like the boomers, like they're like, these kids are so soft these days. And I was like, I remember having this woman said it and I was like, isn't it awesome? They have parents who ask them how they feel. We care about their emotions. We're having them like ask themselves, like, what do I need right now? Like be self-supportive. Like this generation is great. Soft all the way, because us all being raised hard obviously didn't work out super great because everyone has trauma up to, you know, up to the ceiling.
You guys know that account with the, it's like your boomer mother who, and it's like she has like the glasses down here and she's, it's like your boomer mother who like comes over and like goes through all your stuff. And she's like, oh, look, there's a bill here. Oh, this is your journal. Do you write in this or whatever? I have to send you one. It's so on point. It's not even funny. But yeah, no, I agree with all that. It's another moment of like, what do we do with this extreme past that we've had? And being so proud of kind of maybe where we are now, that like How do we disentangle that? Like there, I think about that all the time. I echo everything that you guys said about, like, hey, if I have a client goes on vacation, goes to Paris, like we're not tracking. Like, come on. Like we're gonna try and take the short. The goal of doing that, I'm assuming you have the same thing, is like, I want you to take the shortcut of, I don't have to go to that mega, mega extreme to end up in the positive mindset and balance and all that, whatever version of that is what you're seeking out. But yeah, I don't also want to exclude the fact that of, again, what Heidi said, where it's like, yeah, I look at that moment of, you know, that's where like said these things like 75 hard come into play. It's like, is there an independent benefit of like manual override as a skill? Like, you know, and I don't want to close the door completely on it, but yeah, okay, things like 75 hard, I think are net negatives. But yeah, I think that we're in agreement there. Hold on. There was one thing I wanted to pivot. Oh, you guys were saying like, Nat was saying like also getting to live your life. And this just popped randomly into my head. My brother-in-law and his wife were here, Jenna's brother and wife, and they brought Levain cookies. I don't know if you guys have ever had Levain bakery.
Yes.
And it's like just they, you know, it's hard to like say that in this. Yeah, exactly. You just made this circle sort of hand gesture, because they are not flat cookies. They're just like basically these like rocks. They're just like these beautiful, yes, like there's like a mound of cookie. And I just it got me thinking of like that, like all of these kids, and I say kids because it's like a TikTok thing that's gone all the rage now, of like everything's like what I eat in a day as a banana haired kid, as a broccoli headed kid who like avoids seed oils and poison at all costs, and like you know, like the broccoli hair, you don't know, like these like banana haircuts, like these kids with like broccoli haircuts. That's like, oh, what the kids, yeah, are calling, yeah, it, right?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yes, so, like, yes. In fact, I think a lot of our children.
Yeah, exactly, yes, exactly. Totally. And it's like, okay, here's what I eat every day.
I'm like, you call that a haircut?
No, yeah, exactly. It's like not cutting hair. And it's like what I eat in a day is like somebody who avoids poison and seed oils. And like, they're all like iterations of the exact same, like fucking fear-mongering, bordering, if not full-blown orthorexic tendencies, like just straight up disordered. Everything's got to be clean, all this stuff. And I just was having that Levain cookie, and I'm like, these fucking idiots. I'm like, these idiots, not ever going to experience this. I'm like, it's almost like, we don't go down this, but it's like that person, if I was like, okay, but what about like, you never have a Levain cookie? And they would be like, like once in a while that might be okay. And it's like, yeah, but you're not giving that off in your content. Like, that's not what kids today or the people that view your content are learning. They don't know that what you really mean is most of this. And then there are going to be people who would answer like straight up, no, I would never do that. Like, I would never. It's like, okay, like you're just like, that's an illogical extreme. But I literally was eating that cookie and I looked at Jenna, I'm like, these fucking idiots, man. These banana headed, these broccoli headed kids just never, this, like, you could just do that and also have the occasional donut and cookie and like actually like enjoy some of the like beautiful food that is around that isn't necessarily like Windex to clean, you know, like, or whatever fucking version of that you want. Like, what a bunch of idiots, man. Now, all right, I'm obviously a little tongue in cheek there, because, you know, I think on average people should eat more fruits and vegetables and whole minimally processed and all that stuff, totally, but like, that stuff is killing me right now. And we are, you know, the algorithm gets us with what, you know, a combination of what we love and what we hate. It's just like whatever invokes a strong emotion. And my algorithm is like really riddled with that. And it's like really bugging me lately. Do you guys, and it's funny because whenever I say this to somebody, it's like, it's just funny that like everybody's explore page as a proxy for like the algorithm is a little bit different. Like, yes, I have a ton of baby. I have more baby content than I've ever even seen in my entire life. But it's like baby, 17-year-old kid, you know, who's like eating off a cutting board, you know, who puts, you know what? Hold on, I'm going to do one more thing. And I swear I'll shut up. This, like, these carnivore, it's going to be explicit, I apologize. These carnivore motherfuckers, they're slick. They are slick. They went from like carnivore to all like carbs are bad. And all of a sudden they just start fucking putting raw honey on everything. They're like, yeah, steak, eggs. And I just put honey on everything. I'm like, you don't think we were going to notice that all of a sudden you start adding carbs to everything, that you're adding like literally liquid sugar to everything. They're like, I use raw honey. I pick from the bee's asshole. Like, it's like, no, you're literally adding sugar to your food. They're like, oh, it's like I eat primal animal based. And then I just dump sugar on it. I'm like, where did you thought we weren't going to notice this? And now fruit is back. By the way, these like carnivores are like, I had this ribeye and pineapple and I put raw honey on it. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, are you saying you eat a bunch of carbs and sugar? Like, I just, it's a slow trend. It's a slow backtrack because all of a sudden you've been like having diarrhea for the last 6 months and you like have no energy for your workout. So you can't poop at all. And you're like, slowly you're like, okay, what is like the most naturalistic fallacy form of carbohydrate I can bring back in? It's like raw, natural, you know.
They forgot agave.
Soho
bees. Remember the big agave kick?
Yeah, big agave kick. Yeah, yeah. I will comment on every single post. Like, what about raw honey has made your list? Like, how has the raw honey glow up is hysterical. These carnivore people that are so afraid of insulin are eating protein, which spikes insulin, and dumping honey on everything. Like, where do you get off doing this? This cracks me up. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. This is the kind of content that I want, actually. To make content for the broccoli heads.
I need to find that exact.
The best part is they're all about getting jacked too. And you're like, homies, you guys all need carbs.
Oh.
You all need carbs. Like, what are you talking
about? Jeez.
Oh, so good. Oh, I can't wait for you to have a teenage son.
I'm putting a picture in the chat. How do I do this? I'm gonna screen share for the people perfect. On the old Zoom.
Perfect.
Like this is what we're working with here. Like my man's right here. Like my man's right here or like banana. This is the kid right here. Exactly. This is the banana haircut. This is what the bushel of banana haircut.
That has not hit Orange County.
Here.
That is hilarious.
This is the banana haircut.
I mean, I've seen some more like plantain versions of
that. Yeah, yeah. Banana
like a
haircut.
Cauliflower. Yeah. Oh,
I'm hilarious. Dying. This kid.
Sure. Oh, and, my gosh.
Yeah, it's just out of control.
Our generation. Yeah. It's brought to you. No wow. disrespect. That's so funny. Oh,
so good.
You joining the crowd of parents is my favorite.
I know.
Welcome to the fold.
It's so good. Yeah. All right, Jordan, what's next on your list?
We could do some like boring ones, like you don't need to eat as much protein as I used to think, or like the one that I wrote down that's like more funny that now that we've like descended outside of like normal discussion is like I wrote can't be friends with frauds, and I wrote that because I was you know, like people say, and you guys can very welcome to battle me on this, but like, I guess I used to like nod along with this where it was like, we can still be friends and disagree on stuff. And I'm like, yeah, inherently, I'm fine with that. Like, of course you like this, I like that, we can still be friends. But like, I think people take that line really far. Like, I can be friends with like a full-blown charlatan who like is anti-science and I think is doing a bad service to people. Like people are like, oh, I could still be friends with, and then like they'll say somebody like Paul Saladino or something. I'm like, no. If I met Paul Saladino and if I met Flav City in Costco, like I wouldn't be like, oh, he's a nice guy though. He's a nice guy. No, fuck that guy. You know, like, so I just been like cracking up. I'm hearing people say that. They're like, I still, listen, if you differ on like politics, maybe there's things that are like certain things, if we differ on things that are a matter of opinion, even if I feel very strongly about it, if I can see logic, fine. If we differ on like what I believe to be very close to actual fact, then I say very close to actual fact because scientifically speaking, there are no truths, right? But there are no absolute truths, just probabilities. So like if you're like, whatever, like as someone who's like vehemently telling their followers that their seed oils are toxic, I'm like, yeah, we can't be boys. Like if one of my friends started doing that, I'd be like, hey, we got to talk about this. You know, like we got to sit down about this. And so like, yeah, that was just one that jumped to mind to me. I hear people say that and everyone's like, yeah, that makes sense. I'm like, yeah, until you do this, until you like speak, and there's a line to that. I just feel like people forget there's a line. You're not boys with Hitler. You know what I mean? Like, you're not like, yeah, invited me over for tea. Like he's a sweet man, you know, like, no.
Yeah,
like,
politics aside, he's really funny.
Dogs are adorable. Love his dogs, adorable. You know, like, no. So yeah, Paul Saladino is not Hitler, but I'm just saying like we're in a field, we're in a time right now of like the most misinformation there's ever been because it's the most information there's ever been. And I just, I'm like laughing at myself where I'm like, I'm drawing a line. Like, no, like I'm not, I can't. Like there's certain things I think are doing a real disservice to people. And I'm me, we are working with people that are the product of all of these fears and anxieties around food. It's really tough for me to be like, yeah, he's a nice guy though. We had a beer one time, you know, like, no.
Dude, I hear you loud and clear. There's I can't name names, but there's a influencer who is has a connection to my family that there's nothing I can do about it. I'm not the one that made the connection. And she bless her heart, she is, I have met her, she's a nice person, but she has like the craziest opinions I've ever heard in my life about like, you know. And stuff that offends me on like a very visceral level, like stuff about like if you vaccines and different things like causing autism and all that, you know, just like
Yep, this
yeah,
awesome.
stuff
There
that
you go.
I'm like, did you want to meet at the flagpole later? Like, because we can figure this out, you and me, one on one.
I've got the bleach for the lawn.
Yeah, right. But like, yeah, it is that is a struggle, right? Like to you know, and especially with like it's such a I think it is like a service to like I mean we were talking earlier about how like it seems like so common now for people to do reactions to other people's content and like that like it's Instagram is becoming a little bit more of a divisive place, but it's like you kind of have to stand behind what you believe because otherwise it's confusing.
I
Right?
mean, just
Like
the fact that we had all those people come after us for like talking about Kim Kardashian and her like rapid weight loss just proves that.
oh,
Whoa,
and
what happened
just
with
so
that?
Kim Kardashian, we've never got more hate for anything than the reel we said that was like Kim Kardashian is being disingenuous about losing all, you know, and setting a bad example by losing all that weight for her stupid Marilyn Monroe dress. If people were like, yeah, it was a
People were not
while
happy.
ago. I mean, the thing is like to your point, I would definitely agree with you. I think Heidi and I actually had to separate ourselves from a group of women probably about 4 or 5 years ago because they were purveyors of bullshit, is what I had. Like, we can't like associate with this. Like, we don't believe this, we don't agree with it, like we don't back it up. Like, I don't want to teach women that. We don't believe in that, right? And it's just like it's fun. And so we made ourselves we were in our misfit phase, and that's when we kind of detached from like the air quote macro mom crowd. And it was actually probably the best thing we could have ever done for ourselves because like to just stick around because for the sake of like they're probably really nice. Like,
Well,
not
and
if
like,
they're making women feel trash about themselves, they're not really
yeah.
nice actually. So
Well, exactly. And like and people might have good intentions, but like you have to be responsible about what you share in the internet in this day and age. Like, honestly, it's just yeah.
I think in the last like 3 minutes, some that are on our list, and we could always do a part two or whatever, is hypertrophy is the only exercise you can do ever, right?
I
Like,
love that one. That's a really good one. Nice.
if you love your boot camp and you have a great time and you love your community and you love Pilates and you love dancing and you like taking salsa, please just move. But also care about mobility. I have also changed my mind about that. Mobility, obviously, king. Everyone needs mobility. So that's one thing I would actually add. And then, ultimate leanness and aesthetic goals would be another one of how, you know, I've changed some opinions on that, but that's
Yeah,
a
and same with process of reversing, and then some. So you can't break your metabolism in 6 weeks. It's not
I haven't.
exactly like I thought that, but there was a little bit of, yeah. Well,
I
that's a
thought that.
longer conversation.
Yeah, have you guys seen that? I'm laughing at it because I think I can have a sense of humor while. Yeah, that's a weird way to start the sentence. But you ever seen these like? All right, I'm not laughing at anybody. So let's just preface this. Chill. It's just having a sense of humor. There's like these. There's like a video of like let's say these classes where like the moon boot classes, like the and
Please.
they're like white women will do anything to not lift a weight or something, and like and it's just like the they're like they're just like and then they jump and they like fly and it's just like I love it by the way because I live in this space and I'm like listen they're movement and they're enjoying it and I love it. You
Yeah,
go
they're
and
having a
they're having a
blast. Yeah.
blast. It again, in just like in a comedy way, like it's funny, but the caption, the comments are not funny. The comments are not
Oh.
funny. But when you were saying that, Nat, where you're like, hey, like you could do anything that and enjoy it, I fucking could not agree more. That's definitely one that was on my list of like broadening your horizons with movement. I love
Yeah.
hypertrophy for a lot of reasons as a base, but I certainly have backed off of being like, oh, that's all you should do. You're gonna see that. You're gonna see that. That TikTok or whatever in a second. All right, I gotta run. I appreciate I
All
super
right.
great. Listen, let's put up a Q&A box next time. So we
Yeah,
don't.
well, let's do a part two even. Maybe we need to expand on these ones because they
Yeah,
were
for
actually kind
sure.
of big ones.
I
So we're
know.
like, oh, I missed.
core principle of macros, and then yeah.
But everyone's like, wait, what? What do you mean I don't have to do it? Okay, so we'll
part two.
Okay,
bye. All right, guys. Bye. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.